Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
June 30th, 2019. Thank you for joining me today, and I'm actually bringing you some breaking news that I'm not seeing anywhere else, which is not usually what we're doing on this show, more of, you know, over looking over all the facts from the previous stories and dissecting them. But lucky for me, people like Marshall in the chat and plenty of others have been sending me information that I'm seeing is breaking right now about attacks taking place in Syria that seems like, as every other time we've seen in the past, it's Israeli warplanes carrying out illegal attacks on Syria. But we're going to get into a lot more than that today. There's lots of stuff to talk about. I've got some interesting updates on Iran, big surprise. There's more about what's going on in Libya, which I find very interesting based on how we just covered that story about the CIA asset, it would appear. There's plenty going on around that story that we should be talking about that hasn't been getting covered, as well as now, as you can see in the main image, munitions being sold by the United States, being used by, oh, rebels, here we go again, even though the U.S. shouldn't be involved because it's their problem they created to begin with. But lots of other big things we're going to get to today. Some turkeys involved with this as well. But I want to start today with the big story that I think that, as far as I can tell, is not being covered anywhere other than on Twitter so far. Usually the first places you'll find are places like the Times of Israel and South Front and different places, but I'm not seeing it just about anywhere. So I tried to cobble together a quick little overview of what I've seen so far before we get into everything. And I can promise you this is going to develop through today, maybe even things breaking right now that I won't discuss. And if that's the case, in the chat, please share what you're seeing everywhere else for those that are watching that I may not be able to see this information till after the show. I will be following up on this tomorrow. But the first thing I absolutely saw was coming from Kevork Almasian. From Syrian analysis, this is where he focuses. So he shared this on Twitter saying explosions heard in Damascus, which was then immediately followed up by Vanessa Bealey, who's in Syria, who confirmed, just heard them, blow open my shutters in Old City. So at this point, there's explosions could be caused by many things. And even if it is attack, which we'll get to, I'm pretty sure this is what it is, it could also be caused by other people attacking, not just Israel. But as we've developed, even just since the moment that I first saw this coming up, more information has been coming out. Here is kind of his overview, as you can see, over the last, you know, the minutes he's been covering this. Air defense is firing hostile objects. So it's clear that it's an attack. Hostile missiles. And again, this is coming from Kevork Almasian, so take what he's saying with a grain of salt. I have great respect for this man, and I've never once seen him do anything with malicious intent or trying to deceive anybody. But also, this has been confirmed by other locations as well. But it says, the Syrian army intercepted and destroyed a hostile missile over eastern Ghouta. It seems the arms depot has been destroyed, so they have actually hit targets. Now, then he did actually share some video footage of this as well. Oops. Forgot to take off my studio mode there, get this back real quick. So here's the first, this is what they're saying is evidence of a jet. Watch for yourself. Now, this is essentially it. This is what it's now. First of all, it's not really evidence necessarily of proof, I would rather say, of the fact that it's an Israeli jet. It has been confirmed by people on the ground, other people investigating. But again, just think back of every single event we've seen like this up until now, over even just the last so many months, how frequently Israel does attack Syria illegally and get away with it, for that matter, and many times they've even admitted to. So this seems all too likely, especially knowing that, as he's reporting, the first attacks from jets came from Lebanese airspace, which means the most likely that it's coming from Israel. Now, he said under this video, Israeli fighter jet flying over Byblos in Lebanon during their aggression on Syria. And it makes the point to say that because it came from this area, it's almost certainly Israeli warplanes. Now, here is an actual video of the missiles that they're firing, which is interesting because he's saying hostile missiles flying over Lebanon to hit Syria. Are these coming from the Mediterranean? Which is just a question. Again, this is completely breaking right now. We don't know exactly what we're seeing, but we see missiles flying at Syria, which is pretty crazy. Oh, Now, that's, you know, obviously a missile flying at Syria. So we know for sure at this point, which is the point that I always find it very interesting, as we always see the mainstream media talk about the fog of breaking news as if it explains why they get things wrong when they rush to put out information, but then somehow never seem to rush to put out information that they don't want us to hear about. Interesting how that works. But this story is out there. We can see it. We have video of missiles flying. But interestingly, no coverage by mainstream media. I'm not seeing it even on Israeli press yet until they've got to wrap around the narrative they want to sell you. This is my opinion, but I'm pretty sure this is what we're looking at in most cases when it comes to mainstream media news. Now, just some other images I wanted to share with you. This was actually from Press TV, in case you're, you know, doubting, which you should. We should always be questioning everything we come across. As much as I greatly respect and have no doubt that Vanessa and Kevorkyal are telling you the truth, it's also possible they're mistaken. I don't think that's the case. But here's Press TV saying the same thing. Syrian media explosions heard in capital. But now that we've seen actual video footage of the missile, we know that it's an attack. But we should still be willing to accept that it could not be Israel, even though I think that's highly, highly unlikely, based on everything we've seen before this. Now, Kevorkyal actually shared the last, let me see if I actually included it, as I was rushing to get this information for you. Well, here's actually another point that I wanted to share. But before I get to that, Kevork shared this tweet. I guess I didn't include it. It says, coming from one of the people sharing this, it says, hostile missiles that targeted Syria launched from battleships. One was eyewitnessed in front of Zarini in two directions over Kesarwan and above the south. We saw the rockets over Nabatea. The speed of the missiles indicates that they are winged cruise missiles, which maybe there's more out there that would know what that exactly implies. Maybe that's implying where they're coming from. I'm not extremely well-versed on where winged cruise missiles come from, but it sounds like something that would make a difference on where this is coming from. But we know at the end of the day that we're talking about attacks here. Now, here's what's interesting. So I just saw this as well, coming from South Front. Fourth launcher erected at S-300 positions in Syria's Masyaf. Now, we know that these are in Syria. People are constantly saying, why aren't they using these to defend themselves? And I think that's a genuine question to ask, whether these locations are necessarily the same spot. They have actually attacked places that do, in fact, have these S-300s. So it's interesting to ask why they haven't used them yet. So I just happened to see this and thought it was very relevant to include here. But at the end of the day, what we're looking at yet again is another attack, which seems most likely, based on all the evidence and all the history and everything else around this, another Israeli attack on Syria that is completely illegal, regardless of whether Iran is in Syria, which they're allowed to be because they're an ally of Syria who was invited there. Unlike Israel, unlike Turkey, unlike France, the UK and United States and all the rest of them, they're not allowed to be in Syria in any way, shape or form. But they do anyway. Just like Israel chooses to attack Syria because it feels it has the right to, even though it doesn't. Everyone acknowledges, other than their allies, this is an illegal strike. They're doing it with impunity, the very definition of the word, because the U.S. allows them to. While the U.S. turns and tries to point to Iran and say, oh, Iran, they do bad things that we can't prove. Here is visible proof of Israel bombing, and they've done it before, illegally, countries all over the place. Why that's not a big enough deal to people, I don't understand. I'm sure we'll follow up with this tomorrow. And I'm sure we'll get the stories coming out from both sides, which should both be criticized and looked into. But in most cases, what it tends to be is some kind of a justification like, well, Iran's there. And we're going to always defend ourselves, again, trying to make a defense, even though they're the ones that attacked. It's all propaganda and narratives. And we'll follow up on this tomorrow. But I can almost promise you that you're not going to hear about this in the mainstream media until they've got the story they want to sell you. Now, let's get into the other news. Before I get into Libya, which was going to be kind of the focal point of this story, there's some other breaking news, if you can believe that. Some breaking news about Iran and the tanker attacks. Some huge information that you're going to see here first. Breaking information, new photo enhancement technology hopes to identify Gulf tanker terrorists. They've yet to actually identify who the man is in the picture, who was actually there at the scene. But, you know, I'll let you... Obviously, I'm kidding. That's just the point here. This is John Bolton that somebody made a joke out of to make this look like he's planting they claim was a mine, with the point that he's there at the ship. And I just thought this was too funny not to share. I was actually afraid to put this on Twitter because I was worried that there are people that would not be able to recognize this was meant to be satire, which is where we are today. people, this, you know, just like they've done before, this would be mainstream media saying, you know, malicious to attempt to manipulate photo to make it look like Bolton involved, you know, instead of just being, yeah, it's an obvious stupid joke with his big mustache right in the film. But anyway, I thought that was very funny. I think the point is we know that people like Bolton and Pompeo are deeply involved with this very clear psyop. And that's what this is meant to make fun of. But let's get into the real news today. Obviously, the first story was very real, but let's get into the next story. Also, this coming from Zero Hedge about Libya that I thought was incredibly important. A lot of the stories about Libya today. Mainstream media outraged that U.S. missiles are in unknown Libyan rebel hands. They're outraged. How could this possibly happen? We've never even thought of something like this before. Obviously, they have. And this is the ridiculous selective outrage of the mainstream media. Outraged that the same thing they've been doing for decades is happening again. I can't believe it. This is seriously, this is how ridiculous this is. This ridiculous selective outrage of mainstream media trying to make this seem like some new thing. Oh my gosh, you telling me that U.S. missiles are ending up in the hands of rebels? How could that happen everywhere all the time? These people are ridiculous. This is the New York Times for you. Now, the New York Times is apparently, and this is how the article begins. I just had to read this. The way they put this is humorous to me. The New York Times is outraged, just outraged, that U.S. anti-tank missiles have been found in unknown Libyan rebel hands. Of course, when tons of American military hardware was covertly sent to al-Qaeda-linked rebels fighting to topple Gaddafi in 2011, and when those same weapons were later transferred to the Western-backed al-Qaeda forces in Syria, many of them verifiably used by ISIS and al-Nusra Front, the mainstream media didn't find much to complain about. Right? But now the scandal is being uncovered in 2019? I mean, these people are truly a clown show. I mean, an exercise in irrelevance. This is literally the article from 2013. I mean, it says in turnabout, Syria rebels get Libyan weapons. I mean, this is the damn New York Times article right here from 2013. So either they forgot about this or everything about these mainstream media outlets is staged and disingenuous. I'll let you guess which one that is. Now, the point is to make you think this is a new issue with unknown origins, when in reality, we know for a fact that the U.S. has regularly armed all manner of unsavory characters to get what it wants. Terrorists, they're called. They've armed and protected and funded from the very beginning. Does that mean that they're arming, funding, and protecting every terrorist everywhere? No. There's also a possibility that the ones that they've armed and protected and funded have offshoots and gone and done their own thing, and they're no longer under the protection or control of the U.S. Either way, they're still responsible. But the reality is they are funding and arming terrorists, just like the bills that have been presented by people like Tulsi Gabbard or Rand Paul, literally entitled Stop Arming Terrorists Act. Both times they got voted down, which makes a lot of sense to me. Now, currently, it's actually the U.N.-backed government in Tripoli that finds itself on the receiving end of deadly high-tech U.S.-made weapon systems, according to the Times. It says, Libyan government fighters, quote, discovered a cache of powerful American missiles, usually sold only to close American allies, at a captured rebel base in the mountains south of Tripoli this week. The four Javelin anti-tank missiles, which cost more than $170,000 each, which I love just thinking about how often this happens with money, just $200,000, just, you know, casually let aside. It goes on to say, had ended up bolstering the arsenal of General Khalifa Haftar, whose forces were waging a military campaign to take over Libya and overthrow a government the United States supports, which, by the way, is completely false. Well, technically, right this moment, it's false. And they know this. Trump has spoken out about this. But historically speaking, that would be true, that the United States has, up until Trump, supported the government they're now fighting against. Nothing surprising there. I'll get into it in a moment. Now, it goes on to say markings on the missiles shipping containers indicate that they were originally sold to the United Arab Emirates, an important American partner in 2008, which we interestingly talked about how they seem to be kind of breaking away from the United States right now, at least at face value. But this was the idea that they were sold to the UAE and then somehow, you know, accidentally ended up in the hands of these rebels. This is something we know is very clearly not the case. That this is, in a lot of cases, even proven to be the way that they remove themselves from responsibility, by handing the weapons to a partner that then hand these weapons to the very people they've always been funding. Now, it was only months ago that President Trump, for the first time, actually voiced public support to Haftar's forces. Again, this is the moment where it switched. Historically speaking, they were supporting the other side, the same group that most other U.S. allies and the United Nations, matter of fact, are right now supporting. And Trump just said, you know, we're going to switch sides because this guy's controlling oil and we can sell weapons and it's all good. These forces are engaged in an effort right now to take control of Libya. And of course, it's highly sought after natural resources. And they're fighting against the UN-supported government, which is the National Accord in Tripoli, the GNA. Now, Trump actually thanked Haftar, actually thanked him for securing the oil, showing us yet again what takes precedent for the U.S. government in 2019. Money over law, profit over morals, because none of this is legal. These people were supporting the very people they pretend to be fighting everywhere else, the people that are illegally overthrowing governments. And in this case, literally the government that's right now backed by the United Nations. This is just, we're in some rogue times today. And despite long-standing U.S. policy, and again, U.N. backing, Trump actually spoke with Haftar himself over the phone and pledged support to the general and his efforts to lay siege to the Capitol, wherein people have died since after that phone call. Of course, it's just okay. We don't care about the human factor in this, which benefits us financially. Now imagine again, and I always have to make this point, imagine if this was Russia or Syria that had made that phone call and okayed a bloody revolution and said, yeah, you go ahead, we got your back. Imagine how that would be spun by the mainstream media and the U.S. government. This daily hypocrisy is right in your face, everywhere. And today, they no longer even have the illusion of moral authority to counterbalance it. They just contradict themselves everywhere and at the same time show how incredibly morally ambiguous they really are. So it's not working well for them right now. Now, the White House readout said the two discussed, quote, ongoing counterterrorism efforts and the need to achieve peace and stability in Libya. Which is made all the more ridiculous when you remember that in early April, which we talked about at the time, just before Trump came out in support of Haftar, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo had urged Haftar to halt his advance. He said, quote, we have made clear that we oppose the military offensive in Khalifa Haftar's forces and urge the immediate halt to these military operations against the Libyan capital, according to Pompeo. And then Trump showed him that we apparently has a different meaning for Donald Trump and cheered on the efforts that you go ahead and do that because you're securing oil and it's good for us. Countering longstanding U.S. policy and what his staff just said, which is just ridiculous. But I'm sure the oil was, you know, just a happy coincidence and played no bearing on his decision to support an action that would no doubt take human life. Just been a bonus, right? Now, it's important to note that Libya is only in chaos right now because of U.S. liberation and how they simply just left the Libyan people to the wolves after achieving their goal, at least I would say largely in part, which was stopping a gold-backed currency in Libya and left the people high and dry after that. You know, we're saving you. We're here to save you. And then we got their agenda and they bounced and left all the terrorists they've been funding to overthrow the country. And now a lot of people are being sold on open slave markets. Common thing here today, at least in independent media circles, showing what an utter lie U.S. liberation has historically been for the actual people they pretend that they're saving. Just like the government did with Venezuelan defectors. We just talked about this story. Left them high and dry when they were no longer useful. Well, just days before, they were offering them the world. Come to us and everything's going to be great for you. Bring your kids, your families. And then, oh, it didn't work. Okay, you guys, you're gone. We don't even care about you anymore. Left them in another country where they don't have anything. And the children that they brought over were starving to death in a different country. As they pretend to care about starving children in Venezuela. You really can't make this stuff up. And to suggest Haftar is right now fighting terrorism in Libya and not actually causing it is the typical bastardization of the truth we have come to expect from the U.S. government. Now, up until this point, the U.S. had officially backed the GNA, along with the United Nations. So Trump's statement was a complete reversal of past U.S. policy in this regard. Now, a State Department official, and here's actually the pictures of the munitions and things that they found, which is also on the main image of the video today. Now, a State Department official said in a statement, quote, We take all allegations of misuse of U.S. origin defense articles very seriously. Now, the Times report noted further, quote, if the UAE transferred the weapons to General Haftar, it would likely violate the sales agreement with the United States as well as a United Nations arms embargo. Now, what I find the most insulting about this selective outrage is that they are basically saying that, you know, if the UAE had, misused these weapons by sending them to an unauthorized party, well, they will be held accountable by the United States and the UN and lose the ability to buy U.S. arms. So it's all good if you kill children, bomb food supplies, and target civilians on a daily basis with those U.S. weapons, such as Saudi Arabia. But if you dare to give someone those weapons without authorization, now, that's too far. Money is apparently more important than human life, but not more important than control, because we have to make sure that those weapons can't end up in the hands of people that we don't want them to go to. But sure, go ahead and murder anyone you want with those weapons. As long as you're giving us money, we're all good. I mean, who does not see the ridiculous contradiction here? But I still argue that it's far more likely that this was the plan. These weapons were meant to find their way there, is my point. And either way, the UAE will never actually be held accountable, in my opinion. Now, the State Department went on to say, quote, we are aware of these reports and are seeking additional information. We expect all recipients of U.S. origin defense equipment to abide by their end-use obligations. But this also is shown to be an entirely unenforced policy, at best, and a back channel for arming terrorists at worst, which is what I believe it really is, as Saudi Arabia and many others have made very clear, by sending weapons right now to Al-Qaeda terrorists in Yemen that are being handed to them by the United States, which got brushed over by like the New York Times, and the U.S. made a quick statement and said, we're going to look into it, and then it just went away. I'm shocked. No investigation. We can see them arming them. It's ridiculous. It's been covered by all kinds of different people. But they're looking into it, so we can assume that there's nothing there because we never heard anything back about it. This is what this is meant to do. This whole policy that they don't enforce is so they can hand these weapons to people. They say, well, we're just doing an honest arms deal. Even though on a side note, we've regularly reported that about 73% of the world's dictators get their weapons from the United States. This is an easy thing to look up. But ignoring that for a moment, they pretend, well, we're just selling arms to our allies. And then when those allies hand them to the very people that we can show you clearly the U.S. is in this triangle of support for these terrorists, but they didn't hand them the weapons. We're just standing by. It's all their fault. This is how this is meant to work. Plausible deniability, just like the whole torture ridiculous concept where they outsource the torture to other people. Oh, we don't have any part in that, even though we're standing there watching you conduct the torture. It's something we have to begin to see, the lies innate in all of this stuff. Now, the New York Times article, with actually no challenges whatsoever, added, quote, the United States supports United Nations-led efforts to broker a peaceful solution to the Libyan crisis, according to the U.S. official. Not even a follow-up sentence with, except, by the way, Donald Trump is right now openly supporting the opposition and that they're selling weapons to both sides. That doesn't play a factor. Just let him say something that's verifiably false. That's what these news outlets are meant to do. A journalist would challenge such a ridiculously easily shown to be false statement. Now, General Haftar, who solidified control over eastern Libya over the past 2 years and swept through the south early this year, has sought to capture Tripoli and seize military control of the entire country with the support of countries like the UAE and France, but it's strongly opposed by Turkey and most European countries. And what's interesting, we just talked about the idea of France, by the way, which is another part we're going to get into, which people shocked at. Oh, France is selling the weapons. No, that's fake news. Well, guess what? You're going to find out that it's not. But ask yourself how this is in any way legal. This is Western-backed conquest, nothing more. Each one of these countries is trying to silently get involved and profit from this incredibly unstable situation that most of them are partially or entirely at fault for creating and then ignoring until it came back. And they don't want you to think that they're involved while they're selling weapons to both sides, a classic thing we've seen throughout war, well before even the founding of the United States. But how is this okay for these countries to do something like this, to step in and use CIA assets like we just saw with this supposed Portuguese national, sending in people they pretend they're not involved? But again, imagine if this was another country. Imagine if we saw Russia doing the same thing right now. And maybe they are. I mean, in the same note, we're going to get to the weapons that we talked about. We actually have evidence that, or at least people suggesting that there's also Chinese weapons there, which wouldn't surprise me at all. But the point is, they don't want you to recognize that they're involved while using anything like this to demonize their allies. Just rank hypocrisy, as I'm always showing you. Now, Haftar, as I've pointed out numerous times, which should immediately make you question all of this stuff, has long been described as the, by many analysts and people just aware of the situation, as the CIA's man in Libya, given that he actually spent a couple decades living in exile a few minutes away from CIA headquarters in Langley, Virginia, and is also a verified CIA asset, right? They just claim he's, you know, no longer, he's retired. But we all know there's no such thing as retired CIA, as we've heard plenty of CIA men themselves openly say it themselves. And here we have CIA's man in Libya, who Trump is working with, who's securing the oil assets. Do you see what's going on here? Now, Haftar was actually inserted back into the Libyan battlefield just before Gaddafi's eventual collapse and capture and field execution at the hands of NATO-supported extremists in 2011, which I'm sure was just coincidence. Now, the New York Times offered further details of the U.S. weapons recovered as follows. They quote, markings on the missile's craters, on the missile crates, identify their joint manufacturer. Can you guess who it was? I bet you know. That's me saying that, not the reporter. It goes on to say, the arms giants Raytheon and Lockheed Martin, once again, selling weapons all over the world. And these people are creating death. Purveyors of death. These people are manufacturing things that kill people everywhere all the time. For no reason. And to the point where they now have such control over the U.S. economy that we have to continue bombing and killing people all over the place to make sure this country continues to function. That's how broken this system is. We stop bombing one place, well, we got to start bombing somewhere else, or we're going to have problems here. The factor of human life doesn't really play into that. Just like we saw the Lockheed Martin bomb that killed the children in the bus we just talked about in Yemen. MK8 bomb that Hussein al-Bukhari broke the story for on the ground in Yemen. Of course, that got all the coverage because Jim Carrey decided to make a cartoon about it, but we don't get to talk about every other one that happens everywhere else, all the time. Now, again, isn't it a little late for the mainstream media to, you know, somehow only now discover and care about the scandal of major U.S. weapon systems in unknown rebel hands? Or to suddenly discover that the U.S. is involved in arming rebels today in Libya? As you heard you heard that last month. We just talked about this. And here's what's interesting to me. Talking about France, talking about arming both sides, talking about what's going on in Libya. We talked about this a month, more than a month ago. Not a peep in the mainstream media. And now they're coming over with this, oh my God, look at what's happening. So who's the fake news again? I mean, you heard this from myself. You heard it from many other independent outlets. Not a peep from the mainstream media. Not until they had their marching orders. So again, who's the fake news here? I mean, that's something people, hopefully they're new to the show, should be asking themselves. Now, as I just mentioned, France yesterday, kind of casually just saying, well, France is also arming both sides, and got pushback from people, which I always do with things like that, that they're involved in Libya. Well, this is coming out, I've seen this multiple places today. This is coming from Middle East Monitor. Libya government claims France soldiers among Haftar forces. So not only are they arming both sides, which is what a lot of these governments are trying to do right now and profit off the chaos, but in fact, we're getting claims from Libya's government that French soldiers are on the battlefield with them, which is something that always happens in these cases. We have US and French and UK soldiers, people on the ground long before we ever know what's happening. You know, even though we're supposed to authorize war and, you know, the American people are supposed to have a say and all the BS we get told, none of that happens. We don't get to hear about soldiers dying in the Sudan or the Congo or anywhere in Africa until after their bodies come back and somebody finds out about it. And then they go, oh, yeah, here's the story and here's why we didn't tell you. It's all good, but we would have never heard about it until if we hadn't have stumbled across the story. That's the problem. There's so much going on around the world that we have no idea about, such as the CIA asset that just got captured in Libya. They're involved in these places all over, profiting, killing, until we can find out about it. This is why things like WikiLeaks and people that actually try to reveal the truth to us are so important today. Whether it's WikiLeaks or somebody else, we need to be able to reveal the crimes of people in power without being arrested for it, which is what we're dealing with today. Now, the Libyan Government of National Accord, the GNA, actually claims to have personally, they've spotted French soldiers, they said, serving among the forces of General Khalifa Haftar. Not just there, but serving within his units. Now, the commander of the GNA's 1st Infantry Brigade claimed to have spotted 6 different cars carrying French soldiers who had been stationed at Haftar's operations room in the city of Garayan, south of Libyan capital Tripoli. Now, this is... Garayan is a focal point here, and I've been waiting to really get into like the on-the-ground information. South Front is a great site for that, by the way, to find out what, you know, the reports of like encroachments of either side and the troops, what are going on. But Garayan right now is a big focal point. Apparently, Haftar's forces were just chased out of the area, and it's a battle going back and forth. And I understand, when we have things like this happening, guess what's also happening? People are dying. As we have the U.S. illicitly supporting one side while pretending to support the U.N. and support the U.N. supporting the other side, and people on both French and U.S. selling weapons to both sides. I mean, it's all over the place. These people are, everything about what they do is fraudulent and illegal in many cases. And then they turn around and try to be the moral authority about cases they want you to think about so to achieve a goal of theirs. The same way France will stand up and pretend to fight for freedom and liberty while they aggressively shut down protests that have no legal justification to do so. People just sitting there. I just showed that horrible video yesterday of people sitting with their arms crossed and their legs crossed, or even sometimes hands in the air, getting beat up and sprayed with pepper spray by French police because they were there. Same thing we've seen in the United States for a long time now. Militarized police. This is what we're dealing with. Now, as if this situation couldn't get any more convoluted, because it really is, especially in Libya. Funding both sides, no one really knows what's going on, which is kind of the design. But as if it couldn't get any more convoluted, a situation that I think was meant to be a quiet war, with the U.S. deeply involved, but kind of hoping to keep this one out of the news, because it's not looking good for them so far with all the other bungled efforts they have going on, and especially knowing that the U.S. caused this situation, by and large, with NATO support and their allies, and then kind of ignored it until now, and then steps back in to profit from the chaos. Yeah, that doesn't look too good for them. So this was kind of meant to be a quiet war where they didn't hope we didn't see them. And now a US-NATO, the new US-NATO allies are coming to head with yet another US-backed force. And that's Turkey. As this gets very convoluted. This one coming from Reuters, entitled, Turkey says 6 Turks held by Haftar in Libya demands release. Excuse me. So now we have Turkish, allegedly here, Turkish military held captive by Haftar's forces, who is openly supported by Donald Trump, who is fighting against the UN-backed government. I mean, this is crazy. And again, as I always have to point out, because it's relevant every single time, just switch out the person involved. If this was Assad currently supporting what's going on in Libya against the United Nations and captured people in Turkey, do you really think this wouldn't explode into a huge international problem? I mean, really think about that. Of course it would. Because they're doing things that they would scream about how immoral and how wrong and how evil. But if the U.S. does it, oh, it's all good because they're good. They're good guys. Don't think anymore on it. Now, Turkey says 6 of its nationals are being held by forces of Libyan strongman Khalifa Haftar and warns there will be consequences if they were not immediately released. And I've also seen reports of them threatening any action from Haftar will be met with responses from Turkey. Now, it says, quote, the detention of 6 of our citizens by illegal militia forces linked to Haftar is an act of thuggery and piracy. We expect our citizens to be immediately released. Now, remember that we're talking about Turkey. Turkey by no means is somebody that we should respect or trust based on their actions. They're worse than anybody, it would seem, taking a cue from the United States and Israel by basically carrying out really, really bad things by then turning around and just saying, but we're fighting for freedom and liberty, can't you tell? You know, people just blindly take them at their word, then it looks like they're doing good things. They stand up and condemn bad acts by Saudi Arabia. Oh, it's so bad, but then basically do the exact same things. So as always, more than anybody, we should take what Erdogan from Turkey has to say with a huge grain of salt. But what he's saying here, again, if taken face value, is that the very people that Trump is openly supporting, because they took the oil and they're, you know, whatever reason they're doing and selling weapons to, he just called thugs and pirates and are currently holding NATO ally forces captive. Very tricky situation here. Now, it says we expect our citizens to be released immediately. So we'll have to wait and see how this plays out. Now, the incident comes after Haftar ordered attacks on Turkish ships and interest after he recently lost ground to the UN-recognized Libyan government, which is also backed by Ankara. So now we have NATO divisions as well between this whole thing. So we're going to have to see how this develops. Ultimately, we don't know. But what I'm trying to drive home for people is that the very government that tries to put itself, or the governments that try to put themselves forward as the moral authority, the ones that can hand down judgment to the rest of the world with nobody overlooking them, with no checks and balances on their extreme power around the world, they can hand down sanctions and ignore the ICC and do whatever they want, ignore resolutions, what they choose. These are the very people that are right now doing what, if any other country that was their adversary was doing, would be all over the news. Funding both sides, especially the side that's fighting against the United Nations-backed government, for very, very illicit and, I would say, obvious reasons. And it's just frustrating to see such obvious hypocrisy. Again, it boils down to what, because they're the good guy and they're the bad guy, and it all sums it up. Just close your eyes, sit back, and trust your government. This is what they want from you. But it makes absolutely no sense. And you have to really try to not see what's right in front of you. It's that obvious. And in an interesting development with the Iran topic, and actually oddly similar in that we're talking about a U.S.-backed forces taking very serious action that will no doubt fall back on the United States, which actually may even be the plan with this next story. I actually originally saw this on Israeli News Live this morning, which he actually had some really hard time with his stream, with cutting in and out, which is entitled Iran's Revolutionary Guard Fighting Kurds in Iran. Major shout out to Israeli News Live, always doing a great job. I don't agree with everything anyone has to say for that matter, but he's doing a killer job on reporting this stuff, breaking news, getting this out for you. And now we're talking about the Kurds here, which is incredibly important, understanding how involved the United States has been with the Kurds, how involved Israel has been with the Kurds, and how right now deeply involved both of those countries are with trying to create a war with Iran. And here we have their puppet proxy group fighting against Iran. And I shouldn't say it that blindly. Clearly the Kurds have their own ambitions. They want to create a Kurdistan, right? But they're allowing the U.S. and other countries like Israel to use them. Or rather, I mean, you could point the clear creation of them from Israel, but they're allowing themselves to be used in order to hopefully get what one day they think is going to be Kurdistan. Now, it's something that people like the United States will dangle in front of them and use and abuse them in Syria. But here they are from Iraq fighting against Iran. Now, here's the tweet that he actually shared. This is being reported from these groups. It says, heavy clashes have erupted between Kurdistan's Peshmerga forces and Iran's terrorist Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, which is, you know, only say terrorist because the United States arbitrarily deemed them a terrorist group. We're talking about Iran's military here. Now, I looked this up. Peshmerga, which actually means before death or those who face death, are a military force of the federal region of the Iraqi Kurdistan. Now, because, and this is according to Wikipedia, it says, because the Iraqi army is forbidden by Iraqi law to enter Iraqi Kurdistan, the Peshmerga, along with their security subsidiaries, are responsible for the security of the regions in Iraqi Kurdistan. Now, I bring this up simply just so you know what we're talking about here with this group. But so we know that we're talking about a group based in Iraq, but that they're Kurds, which is largely where this all comes from in regard to Syria as well. Now, I find this especially interesting on kind of a side note here, because the U.S. government has recently been really trying to blame what they're calling Iraqi militias for any number of things, which the way that they use it is becoming just a euphemism for Iran, which I think is obviously the point here. And I'm sure you see where this is going. Trying to kind of make this out to be what it's not. But here we have an Iraqi militia, albeit a Kurdish one, fighting against Iran. I mean, it's just a side note to make it clear. It is never as cut and dry as the government and its controlled media make it seem. And there are, without a doubt, militias that are connected to Iran, as Iran is allowed to be in Iraq. Go figure, as an ally. unlike the illegal occupation of the U.S. and Israel. Or rather, excuse me, I'm thinking of Syria, but either way, of the illegal occupations of U.S. and their allies. But that aside, it's kind of abstract, but I thought it was very interesting to think of the connection between Iraqi militias and what they're saying, but it's worth noting on. But also consider the possibility, and this was the real reason I wanted to bring this up. The possibility here, as I'm sure you're already thinking yourself if you're paying attention, knowing the clear connection between the U.S. and the Kurds, using them as chess pieces on a game board more than once, and even Israel's very clear role in their creation, as people were sending me links before I started. I mean, see, this is a documented concept of the Kurdish being trained by Mossad and ultimately their creation from the very beginning. But knowing all of these connections, and considering that this was all orchestrated by the United States and Israel, or both for that matter, in order to create conflict at some level that they can point to as proof of the ever-elusive Iranian aggression, sort of like that phantom Russian aggression that we just never get to see. Now, Steve also talked about, interestingly enough, the idea of now Russia discussing bringing S-400s to Iran, but then Iran kind of seeming to drag their feet, hasn't necessarily happened yet. Interesting discussion to talk about, but I recommend you watch Steve's video. Always does a great job. Lots of information for you to dive through in that video. But it's interesting to consider the reality that we're now watching their failed false flags, watching their failed efforts to demonize Iran on the world stage, that they just ultimately kick off yet another proxy battle, which will draw in their allies if they can say, well, look, Iran is attacking our proxy. We have to do something. Everybody back into Iraq. Everybody back into Syria. Everybody surround Iran. We have to fight these guys. This is where these things go. It's exactly what happened in Syria. Think about that. And that they're actually making this happen so to create the war that they've always wanted. Now, to end today, there was a great video by Greystone about another MEK rally where U.S. officials were speaking, as they always do, and Max Blumenthal's efforts to talk to them about it. And it's as always, again, same with the other ones. I recommend you watch this for yourself because I'm only going to show you a little part of it. But it's unbelievable how... I mean, the history on this group is very clear. And as I always point out, the people that talk like the people in this video, they just hope that you're not smart enough to do your own research and just take them at their word or take the mainstream media at their word and call everything else Iranian propaganda, which it certainly could be, except the fact that it's very easily shown to be true. But this video is great because he watches them speak, he talks to them, and how aggressive they are and how quick they are to attack his character. Because that's what you do when you're having a legitimate discussion about facts. You attack the person's character, right? No, of course not. That's called a straw man. They're trying to not address the facts. But I recommend you watch this whole thing and then actually watch how Max gets followed by MEK members the whole time, trying to stop him from talking to anybody. Because the reality, the point I believe Max was trying to make, is that when you actually talk to these MEK members, you recognize how extreme they are, how radical they are. And they don't want that getting out. Because this is the group that the United States government wants to put in power. This is the group the U.S. wants to put in power after their long-sought goal of regime change in Iran. A terrorist organization that has been co-opted by the establishment, that was taken off the terrorist watch list by Hillary Clinton. They were co-opted, just like the terrorist groups we now know were used in Iraq, in Syria, used in Yemen, etc. Please watch this video for yourself. As all of them, but one clip that I want to share from their video, along with one actually from a previous video of mine, which I actually couldn't find the original footage, which, you know, not surprising, it's probably been scrubbed from the internet. So please forgive the music that plays with the second part. Once again, this what you're going to see dispels the modern myth, the flagrant U.S. lie that sanctions do not hurt civilians. Something that is so easily shown to be a lie. Even quoting and showing you U.S. documentation that outlines that it's obviously a lie. But again, they just think you're not smart enough to look into this stuff. The clips show us that these both U.S. officials and other people involved, not only do they know this is a lie, but openly speak about it when they're addressing the MEK, who cheer at the idea of suffering Iranian people. Sort of the way the U.S. government will tell us what the Israeli government wants to do in Palestine, which just happens to dramatically differ from what the actual Israeli government themselves openly say they want to do in Palestine. Funny how that works. Both clips make it clear that civilian suffering, including being forced to sell your organs for food, are, quote, signs that our campaign is working. Or as Rudy Giuliani will say, the kind of conditions that lead to a successful revolution. Warms your heart. Thank you so much for being here today. I love you all. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
Iran's economy is in recession. It has contracted 6%. The currency has significantly devalued. Unemployment skyrocketing. As you know, there are food shortages and power outages. And there's growing civil unrest. The maximum pressure campaign is working. Iran is choking on the sanctions.
Tell me that you're not a serious threat. It's the regime we're trying to overthrow sees us as a threat. You are a threat. It is a reality. The protests are getting worse. I don't know when we're going to overthrow them. It could be in a few days, months, a couple of years, but it's going to happen. They are going to be overthrown. The sanctions are working. The currency is going to nothing. We see signs of young men and women saying, give me some food. We saw a sign of a man trying to sell his internal organs for 500 American dollars, probably a fortune in Iran today. These are the kinds of conditions that lead to successful revolution and, God willing, nonviolent revolution.
Now, I know that standards have slipped over the last few years in Washington, but for a lawyer, you're remarkably cavalier with any idea of justice.